Though today hundreds of religions suggest otherwise, there is but one true church. There are some 4,000 religious denominations in existence today, but only one church. Many say the road to heaven is entwined with various paths, but there is no scriptural basis for these beliefs. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In Ephesians 5:23, Paul wrote, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." If you have your New Testaments, I invite you to turn to Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. "There was one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." It speaks of the church. The word churches is mentioned in the Bible, but only referring to the churches of Christ. Never does it mention any other doctrines that are acceptable. In fact, when the Galatians turned away from Christ, Paul said that he was amazed that they moved unto another doctrine, which was not another, because there is just one. In Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. "I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But although we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said, therefore, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." They were not rebuked for leaving religion, but rather for leaving the church. There is a great difference. If there is truth, there is one true Lord. If there is one true Lord, there is one true church. If there is one true church, there is one true faith and baptism, one correct path to heaven. There are not various paths, religions, or practices to choose from. The world says there are many roads that all lead to the same place, that place being heaven. But that idea is found nowhere in the scriptures. Instead, Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, said in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Only a single way. Christ said he is the light, the truth, and the way, in John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This one way is through his church. The New Testament refers to the church as the eternal purpose of God. In Ephesians 3, verses 9 through 11. Ephesians 3, verses 9 through 11. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Bible tells us that Christ died for the church and purchased it with his blood, once again showing the importance of the church. The New Testament is the only place where we can learn about the church of Christ, but at least you can learn about the church in the scriptures. It is the only church spoken of in the New Testament. When and where did the New Testament church begin? The coming of Christ as deliverer and savior was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. After the flood in Noah's day, people grew corrupt again. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4, God called Abraham and promised that through his seed, all nations will be blessed. In the New Testament, Galatians 3:8, the Apostle Paul said, "And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." In verse 16 of the same chapter, he stated, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He did not say seeds as of many, but as of one. "To thy seed, which is Christ." In this passage, almost 4,000 years later, we find the promise to bless the nations fulfilled in Christ. In Ephesians 3:5, we read the mystery of Christ was not known unto other generations. In verse 11, he states that it was in the eternal purpose of God that through the church would be made known the manifold wisdom of God. Therefore, the promise to all the faithful patriarchs and prophets of old was to be fulfilled in the church, the body of Christ. About 6 months before his death, Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," in Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barona, for flesh and blood hath revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the Old Testament, many predictions were made concerning the church or the kingdom, and that it would never be destroyed. In Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4, he states that when the word of Jehovah would go forth from Jerusalem, Jehovah's house was to be established, and all nations would flow through it. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. In Mark 9:1, Jesus told his apostles, Some of you standing here shall not taste of death until you see the kingdom come. In Luke 24, verses 44 through 53, we have the record of Jesus Christ meeting with the apostles after his resurrection from the dead, and we read, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must need be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. In verse 47, Jesus states, And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Again, we see Jerusalem as the starting place of the church. In Acts 1, verses 1 through 12, we read about Christ ascending into the heavens. He told the apostles in verse 4, And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. In verse 8, he said, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In verse 12, they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. The apostles received the baptismal measure of the Holy Ghost as they had been promised. There were people present from every nation. Each heard the apostle speak in his own language so they could understand. The apostle Peter preached a great sermon on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. In Acts 2:37, Luke says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? In the next verse, the answer is given. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In verse 41, it states, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In verse 47, Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This was the first time in all the Bible that it spoke of the church being of as an existence. In Acts 20:28, we read Christ purchased the church with his own blood. He is the head of the church, Colossians 1:18. Thus the great apostle Paul wrote in Romans 16:16, The churches of Christ salute you. Everything that has been prophesied about the beginning of the church took place upon the day of Pentecost following the resurrection of our Lord. Afterward, the church was spoken of as being in existence. Indeed, Peter spoke of this particular day as being the beginning, Acts 11:15. Jesus himself spoke of that day as being the beginning day for the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, Luke 24, verses 47 through 49. Thus the laws governing his church became functional on the very day it was started, and all men from then until now enter it the same way. We are told how to become part of the church. Acting under Jesus' early instructions in Matthew 8:28, verses 19 and 20, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Peter had thus first revealed baptism by Christ's authority. Remission of sins or salvation was proclaimed in Jesus' name for the very first time on this occasion. A few days later, Peter explained, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there was none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Truly, Pentecost marked the beginning of the church set forth in the New Testament. It was also the beginning of the kingdom of Christ in its operational sense. It was when Christ started to reign over his kingdom. We do not, therefore, search back to or before the death of Christ on the cross to learn the terms of entrance into his church or kingdom. Neither do we search back to the law of Moses or forward to Christ returning for the establishment of his reign upon earth. He is our king now. All are subject to his laws now. When he comes again, it will not to be set up a kingdom, but to raise up those that are in their graves and those that are living who have done good, either to the resurrection of life or to the resurrection of condemnation. John 5:29. Only one church was established in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost following Christ's resurrection. Any other religious organization is not his. Systems not found in the New Testament constitute no part of the church therein set forth. And this makes me very glad, because if God had commanded us to rope cattle in order for salvation to occur, I would be hopeless. All that we know about the church of our Lord, or the principles by which it is governed, we learn from the New Testament and it alone. The New Testament is the only place to which we can turn to learn about the church of Christ. We recall that the church is described in Ephesians 3, verses 9 through 11, as the way God's wisdom will be made known. It is obviously very important. It is necessary, therefore, that we are educated by the New Testament, God's wisdom, and not by the ideas of man. After religious division arose within the church at Corinth, Paul asked some probing questions. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? 1 Corinthians 1:13. He asked if Christ was divided. But if Christ was divided, there would be more than one body, and therefore more than one church. Was Paul crucified for us? We know that Paul was not. For if Paul was crucified, we will worship him and not Christ. Or were we baptized in the name of Paul? But if we were baptized in the name of Paul, we would not be baptized for the remission of sins. So we were not baptized in the name of Paul. The church belongs to Christ. He died for it. He built it. He lays down requirements through which we can belong to him. He is the head of that body, Colossians 1:18. Religious bodies that have their origin in Rome, Zurich, or London, or any other places but Jerusalem, are ones that started in the wrong places. The Lord's church was founded by Christ through the preaching of the apostles in Jerusalem, corresponding to Old Testament prophecy, again in Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. When the gospel was preached by Paul and others throughout the ancient world, different denominators were not set up. Whenever the pure gospel of Christ was taught, just as it was preached for the first time in Jerusalem, the result was simply Christians who belonged to Christ, collectively the church of Christ, when people obeyed the gospel. If there was no congregation of the Lord's church in your hometown, and you started teaching others about the death of Christ, the benefits of his redemptive blood, and the requirements found in the New Testament for forgiveness of sins, you would not be setting up your own denomination, but rather you would be following the New Testament pattern. The Lord's church would then exist in your hometown, and the New Testament alone would be its guide for work and worship. Third, only divinely appointed names were worn by the church, such designations like Church of Christ, Romans 16:16, and Church of God, 1 Corinthians 1:2, are scriptural names that describe the church as belonging to God and Christ. The Church of Christ is not a denominational title that describes a religious institution established by men. Rather, it is the collective reference to the people of God in the world, people who follow the New Testament teaching regarding the church. Being saved is the way to membership in the Lord's church, Acts 2:47. There should be no mistake as to the method of salvation to be realized. A person must have faith in Jesus as the Son of God, John 20, verses 30 to 31, John 8, 24. Repent of sins, Acts 17:30. Confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, Romans 10, 9-10. And be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38, 22:16. When a person is saved according to the Lord's instructions that are in the New Testament, when he is baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26 through 27, he is at that time added to the church, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2:47. The Lord's church honors the authority of Christ. From the start, the church respected him as the Lord of the church, or the head, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The church has a divinely appointed mission, Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15-16, in submitting to the Lord's authority. Christians ought to worship according to the New Testament, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Colossians 3:16-17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In subjecting themselves to the headship of Jesus, congregations of the Lord's church must govern themselves according to the New Testament teaching. If Christ is the head of the church, we cannot implement our own worship styles or references. Christ is mindful of what goes on within his congregations. He will discipline them, and he will consider them apostate if they persist in unscriptural matters. Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. 2 John 1:9, whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So in summary, the church wears his name, it was purchased by his blood, it recognizes his authority, it is his, and only in it can we find salvation. Christ is the head of the body of the church. In Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Never does the word of God promise salvation to anyone except those in the church. Never. Only those who are members of his body will be saved. The scriptures say he is the savior of the body, the church. Ephesians 5:30, there was one body, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, and one way to heaven. It is his body. No other religion which goes by the name of church is the one Christ established. None of the other beliefs dreamed and made to follow, promising heaven can be accessed by various means, were established by the Savior. All were created by men who sought an easier and greater life of ease and pleasure. The only true way to heaven is to be one of Christ in his church, or the church. It is a true one. The church is unerring, unquestionable, unfeigned, legitimate, authentic, honest, trustworthy, inspired, established, truthful. The church goes back to the beginning. It was established long before the Catholics, Mormons, Presbyterians, Baptists, and so forth. It is the only one that is divine. The others have their own man-made beliefs, practices, opinions, and name. Since Christ is true, the church is likewise. Christ was spotless, therefore the church is. Many beliefs, opinions, practices, doctrines, preachers, and religions have come. Some have gone, and others are yet to follow. Yet despite all this, there was one which is not, the church. It has withstood persecution, railings, and innumerable religious practices. Though many have tried to conquer the church and overthrow it, they have all but done so. In fact, they are eventually defeated. The church shall remain unconquered till, returning from heaven, Christ comes to carry us home. It shall never fail. It is blameless. Though the members that make up the body are flawed, the body itself remains utopian, that is, perfect. The New Testament gives a clear picture of what the church was under the leadership of the Lord's apostles. The church's origin was divine. It continues to be subject to the authority of Christ. It should be the same today, simply the Church of Christ.